Hello, everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International. It's February 11th, 2016, and really great to have all of you on the call. And so today we're going to talk about handling sports parents and how to all the different things that come up with dealing with not only your athlete kids, but the parents that are involved too, who can be helpful or can be nightmares, and all kinds of things can happen. I can remember tons of sports parents I've worked with over the years, and I'm sure all of you have too. And so that's a great topic, I think, because the parents are paying your bill typically, and yet sometimes they are part of the problem. So wanted to talk about that, and then welcome any of your experiences with sports parents and your questions. Main reason for these calls, of course, is to answer your questions. So if you have case studies or things that have happened with you with parents, that's great to talk about too. Feel free to jump in and bring those up. So we'll talk about kind of best practices for how to handle sports parents, and then ethical dilemmas with sports parents, how to deal with them, and how to, you know, we talked a little bit last time, but talked more about how to protect your time and keeping parents under control. You know, kind of, you almost have to be the parent for those sports parents, or a guide to them, and how to keep your parents on board with your coaching techniques, and how to get when you're first talking with them, how to get the parents on board with things, and then the parents want to know, well, how do I sell this to my athlete to get them to want to do your coaching also? And then there's so often conflicts between the two parents, or conflicts between parents and kids. So kind of working on those things, and then establishing that you're doing, I think it's better to establish that you're doing individual coaching with the athlete, and that the parents are like adjuncts or supports to that, as opposed to doing full family therapy or family coaching, which is different. Of course, you're working with the parents too. They need to work on themselves. But in family therapy, everybody's working on their own stuff in the sessions, and it's a little more complicated and more involved. And in this case, in our case, we want to focus on the child who's the athlete to help them to be, to perform better, have the parents support that. So it's great. And then also, it's something I forgot to list there, but obviously how to teach the parents how to be better sports parents, and what to overcoming blocks and how they can behave and think more productively too. And then in the email I sent to you, I put that sample coaching agreement. Hopefully that came through okay. But I'll also put it in the members area there. And, Daniel, I was looking at, thank you for your question last time. I need to, still looking into that. So I'll send you all more information on how to, with the insurance question you had about, if there's other kinds of liability insurance or anything that you want to be aware of. If there's any associations you belong to in your own particular fields, like, Dan, you're with golf, so, or if you're a psychologist or a therapist, there's, particular insurance that you can get through your own associations with your particular profession. And if you're a life coach, or everybody has their own particular background here, but I just want to see if I can come up with other information, too, about any other protections for that. So I'll be sending you that information also. So, yeah. I did a couple other. Did someone else just join us? Or was that just somebody leaving and coming back on?
Dr. Joanne, it's Michelle. My alarm went off on my phone, and then it disconnected me, so I just came back.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
All that stuff. No problem. That happens a lot. So parents can, get out of control sometimes. I know in sessions, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this, have this topic. And, you know, I think it's good to set up some rules initially, some guidelines, so that parents don't think they could just kind of call you anytime they feel they have a question, because it can get to, I think, like Michelle, you were talking last time, and Dave also mentioned, he had, you know, parents that kind of, especially if there's, you know, big competition coming up or a lot of pressure, you know, parents think they can just kind of call you at their whim, and then you end up, you know, being on call 24/7 for them without charging. They think that you're not charging them anything, so it can get really stressful for you, and not, you know, you end up you know, spending all your time with one set of clients. So it's good to have a client agreement like the one I included in the email, and you can feel free to take that and use it, change it however you like, and put in your information. That's just a sample of how to set things up and how to bill for your time, because it's good to protect your own time. So, you know, in that, you know, client agreement, talk about the services to be provided and then the coaching procedure and the terms, you know, how many times a month and that sort of thing, and when they start and when the session starts and ends, and if, you know, if there's a change or delay, you know, that you'll bill for the call or however you do that. So you could bill the full amount or half the amount, whatever you choose, but just make it clear to the client. And then for extra time, you know, I put that at the bottom of that coaching agreement, I guess, and you could expand that part to, you know, more specifics for you. I mean, in the ultimate case, you know, to protect your time, you know, think like how attorneys think. I don't know if any of you have ever worked with an attorney. When my mother passed away, I was working with an estate attorney, and I had a couple of questions. I was emailing or calling the his office and even talking to his secretary. I didn't realize, but he told me afterward, he said, every time I answer an email or I talk to you on the phone or you call up my secretary, anytime I do research on your case, anytime I'm thinking about your case, I bill for that. He said, in 10-minute intervals. That's what my attorney told me. And I think, oh, my God, at $250, $300 an hour, and California is $400 an hour. So I thought, oh, my gosh, and that kept me from calling and emailing, just him hearing that and realizing, oh, I'm being billed for this. So that's how attorneys think, and that's how they bill. That's sort of an extreme case, but or that's how, and you could do the same if you wanted, but it's good to set some kind of limits. That kept me from calling him, and it kept the attorney from, you know, so he wasn't being bothered by me. And so the same thing can happen, something with your, you know, in a less, you know, you could put it in a more friendly way, but just to say that I'll do the sessions once a week with your child, and if you have questions, you know, one way I handle it is to say, do the first session with the parents there, if they're local, so that I can see the parents and the child together, and that is really valuable, so that you can, you know, establish a rapport with the parents, see the communication style, see what they're, how much they're controlling the child, or what the child's response is, if the child is trying to please the parents, or if they're trying to defy the parents, or do the opposite of what the parents want, and you can see a lot in a session with facial expressions, you know, when the parent says something, to look at the child's reaction. And so there's a whole lot that you can see there. So that if it's possible to see them together, that's good. I usually say see the parents with the child for the first half the session or the full session, depending on how it's going and how the child feels with having the parents there, and depending on the age of the child. So oftentimes, you know, maybe they'll stay there for the full first session, or sometimes they'll, you know, say, okay, well, halfway through, the parents can go out in the waiting room or go out for a walk, and then I'll just work with the child. That way I get more, you know, direct contact. The child can feel like they can talk more freely and without the parents being there. And you, you know, you look for, see if the parents are finishing the child's sentences. You know, so I've had parents before, you probably have too, where parents, you ask the child a question and the parent says, well, no, you really think this way, or that my kid really thinks this. The parent's actually answering for the child, and that, which tells you a lot about what's going on in their dynamics. And in that case, you know, you're wanting to give the child, you know, help them to be more assertive, and help the parents to kind of back down a bit. You want to get, and then I think it's important to, if I'm doing a session on the phone after that with a child, depending on the age of the child, if it's a younger child, sometimes it works well to just talk to the parent for, say, 3 to 4 minutes at the beginning of the session, just to give them the parent might want to say, oh, I want to tell you, give me an update on what my child's doing or what's happening this week. And so that gives the parent a chance to vent a little bit or to give you, to tell you what's going on. But then do it within the session, the scheduled session, so it's not separate. And then work with the child for the majority of the session for, say, 45 minutes or 50 minutes. And then at the end, you could hand the phone back to your parents. I just want to wrap up with them or just schedule another session. Sometimes the parents do the scheduling for a session so the child, because the child can't remember or the parent kind of needs to schedule things. So then talk with the parent for the last three to four minutes of that session to kind of wrap up. Generally, not tell all the details of a session, but just to schedule another session and let them know be clear that if you have questions, we'll do it within this each session here, you know, at the beginning or end of each session, talk with the parent. They can communicate with you then and let them know if they have other questions during the week or an issue. Then and it's something that really needs discussing, then I'll do a separate session with you as parents that'll be billed for at the regular rate. So that's a really good way to kind of protect your time and keep things under control so the parent's not calling you all the time I think we need to do a session with you as parents or regular sessions with you. I've done that before with people, too. Yeah. Did someone else just join us?
Yes, this is Willie Bankston.
Oh, hi, Willie. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
Okay, good, good. Yeah, it's good to talk with you. Yeah, thanks. So, yeah, we're talking about, you know, sports parents and how to work with them. So, I want to say welcome. Yeah.
Thank you.
Good. So, just continue on. I wanted to give you those kind of guidelines to set up, and it's good to set up payment, get your payment up front, not after the session. So, I usually bill for 4 sessions at a time and get that payment for the 4 sessions first, and that way, and one thing you can do is say, get payment for 4 sessions, and then if the and the parent might say, well, I need time with you to answer some questions too. Can I use one of the sessions for that? So you got the 4 sessions, and they could be used for either the child, maybe 2 or 3 of them for the child, and one of the prepaid sessions is for the parent. That way you've got your payment up front, and that could be used for all 4 sessions don't have to be used just with the child. So that's a good way to, it's kind of like attorneys think they get a retainer, they call it. You know, they bill up front and they have a retainer of so much money. And then each time they deal with emails or phone calls or other research dealing with the child and the client, then they bill for that out of that retainer money. And so you make it clear that that's what you'd be doing. So that's a way to protect your time and to give put the parent on notice that they're, that they are being, they'll be billed for the time that when they ask you questions. So So that's good to kind of set that up. That way they don't think they can just kind of call you at all hours of the night for things. Or if they do call, say, yeah, let's set up a session to talk about that. So each parent can, and then sometimes, yeah, I've had times when, like, two parents wanted to, they had two daughters that were swimmers, and so they wanted four sessions for the one daughter and another set of sessions for the second daughter, which we did, and then they wanted another set of sessions for themselves as parents, sports parents, four sessions. So that's a really nice way to get work with each of them. And it's kind of like doing you're doing sort of like couples therapy with the parents, but you know, how to communicate, but it's based on how to help their child be a better athlete. So you can, that way it's kind of like getting three clients in one family, and that's a great way to work with parents. I think it's better to, it's okay to do sessions on the phone too. That's fine if you if a client is, if they're local, you know, I'd suggest it's nice to do the first session at least in person there, and then you can continue to do them there. If the child is really ADD or has a lot of distractibility, then it's great to try to do more sessions in the set office so that they're not distracted. And so the, and it depends on how involved the parent is with the child too, whether you whether they're seen there or on the phone. For instance, I have a 14-year-old guy now that's playing basketball, and his parents come in as well. And I asked if they could do sessions on the phone, but the parents said no. We'd like to come in each time. Which is fine. In this case, another thing you want to do is define the roles. What, you know, is, find out, is the parent just acting as parent, or are they a coach as well? Like in this case, the parent, the dad, is very knowledgeable in basketball, so he's taken it upon himself to be sort of a second coach for the child. And even though the child has his regular coach at school, the dad is doing kind of even more to help the child. And in this case, it's working in some ways because the child is likes working with the dad, and he actually plays basketball with him on the weekends with their own. They formed like a separate team and all just to practice and work together. And that's, and I asked the child there, is that a good thing? Do you like working with your dad? And he said, yeah, the reason I'm so good is because of my dad's coaching. So that was really good to hear, and it was validated that the child likes working with the dad. But the problem is that the parents, when they go to the games and all, the father is, they're from Czechoslovakia, and in Czechoslovakia, it's, you know, the coaching is very strict and very often very negative. And so the parents were both athletes and as swimmers worked under those kinds of coaches. So they're used to, and you might ask your parents, sports parents, if they're athletes and what kind of coaching they had when they were younger, because often they'll do that same kind of coaching to their child. And so I asked them, so how does that go? Like when you're in the, you know, when they're sitting in the stands watching the child, the kid, I ask, what's that like? And he says, well, whenever I do something wrong, Dad shakes his head. He shakes his head back and forth and looks down like, oh, my gosh. A very negative kind of thing. And the child sees that, and it affects him. And then sometimes the dad points at his heart and shakes his head back and forth, and he says, that means I'm saying no heart, no heart, you're not playing with heart. And so you know, that's a very global negative kind of reaction that the parents are giving. And so we talked about that in the session there, and the parent didn't realize how much effect that was having on the child. So we talked about that in that first session, and the child said, yeah, it gets me really down, and I feel really bad about my performance and how I've let you down, and so it makes them perform even more cautiously and more tentatively and in the game and not take shots. And so I asked the child, what do you want, or can you tell your dad what would be more helpful to you and your parents, more helpful? And he said, well, show me what I should be doing. But can you tell me what I should be doing rather than just shaking your head back and forth rather than that negative message? And the dad, fortunately, the parents were really open, and they said that first session really opened up the communication between the two of them, that they'd been at odds before that, and so they were able to then realize that, hey, I can communicate more. And so the dad said, oh, great, well, that's good, I know that, and that, so I'm going to make sure you'll not get any negative messages from me when I'm sitting in the stands, and we'll figure out a signaling system so that I tell you, you know, what you can do, you know. Yet, and he figured out by the next session, he'd figured out like four or five hand signals that he could show the child, you know, to tell him what to do next. Just kind of general. That's not conflicting with the coaching on the court there, his own coaching, but just to say, you know, should take more shots or something. Have a signal for that, and have a signal for, you know, get down after you do the rebound, get down on the court faster, that kind of thing. And so by the next session, they got together and they said they'd figured that out, and that was, and it was just phenomenal. By the second session, the child came in and the next game he'd scored 20 points in the he had four games, and in one of the games the dad said, yeah, he's played the best game he has ever played since he started basketball. So that was really a huge improvement, and said that that session really opened up the communication between the parents and the child. That it was because in that case the child was really not very assertive and not able to talk to the dad about what he needed. So if you can, one of the main things you can do in a session is help the child, give them a voice, you know, so that they can be more assertive and tell the parent what they need and what's working and what's not working, and not let the, and if the parents interrupt, to put your hand up and say, well, wait a minute, let's let the child finish here, and let them talk. So that's really important, I think, to, you know, give the child a voice to talk to the parents and let them realize the impact that they're having on their child. And then also you can, sometimes there's differences between the mom and the dad, and, you know, in this case with the basketball player, the dad is very dominant, but he's also very knowledgeable and detail-oriented, and the kid appreciates that, but he can be also be kind of negative. And the mom, she doesn't know as much about basketball, but she's all very reassuring and very positive and very comforting. And the child said, yeah, if I could have both parents in one person, that would be perfect. So that was really cute and a nice statement that the child was acknowledging that he needs both. You know, he needs that specific information from the dad, but the encouragement from the mother. And so it's good to define those roles. If there is the dad or someone's doing coaching, is a parent, and they're also doing coaching for the parent, for the child, it's important to, so you know that, and you can't change that if that's already set up. But what you can do is just help the parent to be more, to back off a bit more and just be more encouraging. I told the parent, in addition to those signals he was giving, you know, can you develop a signal for a positive, for good job or something, like thumbs up or you know, fist pump or something that you can give the child to let him know that, hey, that was great, great job. So he was doing that because all he'd had before was just a signal of you messed up, you know, you're not doing well. So that was good. And then it's good when you're working with a child, it's good to have that kind of client confidentiality when you see the child separately to tell them that you are, depending on the child, and it depends on the situation, that parents, that you're, you know, there's some things that the child maybe wants to keep silent or keep to themselves, and so that's okay. But just to get permission from the child to share minimal information with the parent, like how he's doing generally and, you know, setting up the next sessions and that sort of thing, because the parent's paying for the sessions. So that's good to kind of have that client confidentiality, too, so the parents can feel like they can, or the client can feel like they can talk. So, yeah, did someone else just join us? I heard another ding, I think. Oh, maybe not. Someone might just come off and then come on again. So, yeah, and then I just wanted to give you some, I'd love to get your stories and your questions to you know, things that you want help with. It's good to, I think, when you're on the phone with the client first, with the parents, you're usually talking with the parents first and, you know, talk with them about what you do and how if you worked in that particular sport, to tell them about your experience in that specific sport so they know that you, you're familiar with that. And then, you know, talk about the success stories if you've had those and what it is that you can do for that specific client and how you understand that. Try to get really, you know, any stories that you have, success stories, that's always good. And just really listening on a deep level to what they are saying so that you, you know, can say you can really speak to that person and speak to what it is that they want. And then oftentimes the parent will say, okay, now you sold me on what you can do, and now how do I sell this to my child to get them to want to work with you? And so in that case, sometimes if the child is right there, you know, we can have a conference call, have the child come on another phone and they can all talk. That's a great thing to be able to talk to all three at once initially and other, and also, or you can tell the parent to talk to the child. And if you have any videos or articles that you've written, send those so that the parent can show those to the child, and you can always offer to do 10 minutes talking with the child on the phone first to just gain a rapport with them and just ask them questions and kind of get a sense of where they're at and kind of give them a feeling that you understand their situation. And tell them, you know, oftentimes that you're a performance coach. Oftentimes parents will say, well, my child is, you know, he doesn't want to do this because he thinks that, you know, people might think something's wrong with him or that he's a head case or that there's a psychological problem. And I just try to normalize it and say that, you know, everybody, all athletes need a performance coach. And so you can just call me a performance coach instead of a sports psychologist or sports psychology expert. Sometimes a performance coach is something that's more easily acceptable by kids and that we all need improvement in our performance. And if you can give examples of other athletes, you know, saying that all the top athletes now it's actually encouraged, and a lot of athletes brag about their performance coach and that they have something that's giving them the edge. I tell the child, you can think of me as your secret weapon, you know, to be able to have that mental edge, something else that's special. So so those are some tips with regard to that, and just being, you know, just I wanted to tell you a few steps to being some do's and don'ts that you can help your parents with. Different things that you want to do is, you know, encourage the child. You want to help your parents, the sports parents, to encourage their child to compete against him or herself. You know, not necessarily just the other team. Back off a bit as a sports parent, sometimes to not care as much. I know that's a hard thing to say to parents, but to a lot of times parents are, you know, looking for their child to be the, you know, the athlete that they never could be, or that they, to be the, to, you know, kind of live out their life and to be what they wish they could have been. That's natural for parents to want that, but it also, to have parents realize that they are oftentimes putting a lot of pressure on the child. So it's much better for the parents to just want, just back off and just be supportive and encourage the child to be, do what makes them happy. One thing is to not, parents need to, especially if a parent is the parent and they're also the child's coach or a second coach for the child, to realize that, that to love them unconditionally and support them unconditionally, not only when they're doing well, and to realize, okay, you know, when you're coaching the child, then you're the coach, but to be able to back off at home, just be the parent, and just be able to say to the parent, to the child, you know, I love you no matter what, and you're doing great, and I support you. If you want to back off from this, it's okay. And be able to just make the sport fun for the child, you know, make it rewarding for them. It's much better to, the pressure can really get to them. And a third thing I wanted to mention was the whole idea of the athletic scholarship. That's one area that a lot of parents are hoping for with working with their kids, is that their kid would get an athletic scholarship to a university if you're working with high school kids. And which is a huge pressure, because, as you know, college is more and more competitive to get into, and it's more and more expensive than ever now, and scholarships are more tougher to get. And so parents are looking at if they could get a scholarship. I mean, gosh, you know, that could be worth $500,000 or more for a 4-year full ride scholarship to a major university. And it's, you know, getting that versus having to parents to pay that or not being able to pay that. They look at the child. It's a really good thing, a goal to work toward, but at the same time, it's a pressure. It can turn the sport into a job for the child, to make it like every game has to count, and whenever the scouts are looking at me, I've got to, you know, perform well. A child can often end up flinching or not doing as well because they feel like it's every move they make is going to be a life, it could be a career-ending, you know, move, or could determine the direction of their life, and that's can really get in the way of their performance. So it's much better to not, they have that, maybe they have that goal or that, but to not emphasize that all the time, that that the scholarship is a possibility out there, but just put that in the background because it just puts way too much pressure on the child. But one thing it can do for you as a performing edge coach and sports psychologist coach is that you can help you to it can motivate parents to engage your services and to pay you for your services, because they feel like that this is something that could really enhance the child's performance to get them to college, to get them to somewhere. So that's a good thing for us as mental training coaches, to be able to work. It's motivating that parents are willing to invest that time and money in our services so that they can, hopefully get to college. But it shouldn't be the only reason. That should just be one thing. The main reason for sports you want to emphasize is to build character and to, you know, to help the child develop all these skills of confidence and determination and learning to deal with competition and learning to deal with wins and losses, all of those good things. So, I've got so much, many more things to share with you about sports parents, but I want to ask you for your questions and for your for situations you have, perhaps with sports parents, that you'd like to share, and then we'll also talk about this in our next call in 2 weeks from now, we can do also a part two on this and talk about SEO as well next time, like Michelle suggested, like how to get your search engine optimization, how to get more people to your website. So, Aaron, so let me ask you for your questions now and then put on your calendars next call be the 25th, Thursday, February 25th. So, yeah, let me know what kinds of things are you concerned about with sports parents? You guys, anyone would like to share?
Oh, hi, Dr. Joanne. It's Michelle.
Yeah, hi, Michelle.
Hi. Yeah, for me, what I've run into is it's happened 3 times now where parents, they just feel that they can just call at any time and just they need to vent or their frustration or, you know, their fears around their kids' behavior or what's happening within the sport. And the parent is suffering from, it seems to me, quite a bit of anxiety around their kid and the kid's sport. And I just, you know, on the last call, when you just talked about setting up clear boundaries, that was really helpful in terms of just makes it more professional and
yeah.
Scheduling appointments with those parents and creating an appointment out of it as opposed to, you know, and texting is a clear a no-no as well, that I've fallen into that
mm-hmm.
as well, where they text me.
Yeah, so just that'd be a good thing to now, I mean, they're so used to that, texting their kids, and but it's, yeah, just to, and it's a, even if you've, those are great issues to bring up, Michelle, and even if you've, kind of fallen into that stuff before, what you can say is it's a new year, 2016, even though it's February, it's, you know, new year that you're, you know, setting up new policies. And here's the new policies that you're going forward. This is how we'll do things, kind of thing. And just like anybody, a new year has new policies, new rules, or new guidelines. You can change things. You know how you deal with parents. Yeah, and just to say, yeah, in the future, be you know, no texting. No, because it's just and it's not as secure. And it's not, it's okay to say no to things like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good.
Well,
yeah.
And that can be in the contract, too, that it's just email correspondence only.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can even, you know, each person can be different. I mean, each of you can set up whatever policies works for you. It could be just, you could say even no texting, no emails, just by phone, you know, leave a message or something. Could be another way. Just depends on how you feel about it. I had one situation where a client was, she had an eating, she was 18, had an eating disorder, and I was working with her and her parents together, and then she sent me an email saying, I decided I'm going to restrict food and continue to restrict food but I do not want my parents to know about this. I want a private session with you or something. And so she was kind of like wanting to defy her parents and go and do something that in this case you know could be because she had a severe eating disorder could be really serious. I won't do texting or emailing, only phone, and I need to see you in person, rather than not just, in her case, phone sessions, we're not going to do it because I needed to see her and I could see, you know, that she was losing weight. And at that point, I realized that she needed more help. And So sometimes it's good to, you have to try to set up more rules depending on what the situation is. Yeah. So thanks, Michelle. Did you have any other things to bring up with that or questions?
Oh, I just liked what you said about encouraging the athlete to compete against himself, not just the other teams. If you want to go develop that further, I'd be very grateful.
Yeah. I was just saying that you know, the ultimate goal of the sports experience is to challenge yourself and continually improve. And but unfortunately, you know, you're judging, we're often judging improvement by winning or losing. But it's really, you know, to let the athlete and the parents know that it's kind of it's unfair and it's really an inaccurate measure, because especially if they're on a group playing as a team, they could be doing really well, but the team loses, and so they get, you know, think, well, we lost against the other team, so I didn't do well. But you know, winning is about, in sports, is about doing the best you can do. So telling the parents that and the athlete that, do the best you can do individually within yourself, your own guidelines, your own standards, separate from the outcome or the play of your opponents or the rest of your team. So, you know, youth athletes should be encouraged to, you know, compete against their own potential. And it's good to educate the parents with that. And that is so, you know, boys should be competing against, you know, the other boys on the team. If it's a guy, you should be focused on competing against yourself and then not against, you know, the other girls or the other boys on the team. And when your child has that kind of focus, or the athlete has that focus, and they play, I think they play better themselves instead of just beating someone else. And, you know, if they set up, let's say, a goal, let's say in track and field, I only win if I beat this other person, then that's a success for me. But that you can't control how fast that other person is going to run. But what you can do is have them set a time, you know, just run as fast as they can, or try to set a time goal, try to do a little bit faster than they've done before in terms of time. So, you know, set some goal, or just a goal to stay focused. So, yeah, or a goal to be more relaxed or more focused, and they're going to perform better overall. So, great, yeah. Thanks, Michelle. And other people have questions or situations with parents? You guys, I don't know, Stephanie, are you on the call?
I am. No, I agree with your comments, Michelle, about I think the advice, you know, to sports parents is good, and I was kind of thinking through the same, that if, I guess, you know, when you've set up the measurable SMART goals and everything, that that's the benchmark, you know, that they have of measuring their improvement and everything. This isn't really connected, I guess, to the topic, but when you were bringing up, you know, about the your client with the eating disorder and everything, and, you know, I was just kind of wondering, let's say there is a situation where in the family there are, you know, obviously some, you know, dysfunction, more so than probably what could be solved, you know, in the work that we had contracted with the family. Like, is it reasonable then to, besides setting up the boundaries and everything, where you get to a point where you have to say, you know, I'm also seeing that these issues are contributing factors, and, you know, here's people that I would recommend you work with, you know, for those specific issues. Let's say, like, you know, very dysfunctional communication, or, you know, marital problems that are then trickling down, you know, to the kids and everything. Like, have you guys had that experience where you've had to, you know, refer those issues to other people to be worked on simultaneously?
Yeah, I'd say that that's really important to do that. Yeah, if you've got some, like, if there's major, or if you've got somebody with an eating disorder and you're not
right,
an expert in that area, then that can, people don't realize that can be a really life-threatening issue. Yeah.
Right.
So it's something that it should be referred to, you know, a doctor, in that case, a eating disorder clinic, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
in this case, I'm an expert in that area, so I could work with that, but if the client was not wanting to see a doctor, or wasn't,
mm-hmm.
you know, wasn't really hooked up with their doctor, and so they could say, oh, yeah, I'm doing fine with my weight. But, you know, mm-hmm. in that case, you know, a lot of times they play games. And
right.
So I needed to see, I made it a requirement of continuing coaching and therapy to see that you need to see your doctor, and I need to be in, you know, have a release of information so I can see, talk to your mm-hmm. doctor and see their records and see not only weight, but BMI, you know, basal metabolic index and different,
right.
yeah, different, just see how they're doing medically, because so I can coordinate treatment with them. So I did, so that was that's really important. If somebody does have a medical problem that could be serious, to make sure they see a doctor and coordinate that. But if it gets really complicated and you feel like you're losing sleep over a client, which I've mm-hmm. done before, I mean, we've probably all done that, where they're driving you crazy, then I think it's you know, time to get consultation first. That's why these course calls are really good, you know, to ask about it on our calls here, or also, you know, if you're part of any. If it's a legal kind of thing, too, or, you know, if you're a psychologist or a family therapist, there's, you know, organizations like within your, like, malpractice insurance, you can call up. And,
right.
and I didn't realize that before, but, yeah, it's a great service kind of thing. Like, I know, Stephanie, you're a psychologist with APA.
Mm-hmm.
You can call the service there, and they, you know, all of a sudden you can talk to this person who's a lawyer and also they're a psychologist, and could talk about those kind of things, how to protect yourself, so as well
right.
as protect the client. So so I think it's good to, yeah, stay, you know, feel that way. You feel like you're not alone in this, you know, because you don't want to feel like you're the only person treating someone if it feels like there's major things going on. And, yeah, if there's a marital problem and you feel like you're not, this is getting way out of your league, any of you, if you're not trained in that area, to say, you know, refer to a marital therapist kind of thing is completely okay, and still continue to see the client for their sports and all. And that works great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've got a team effort going there. So that's good, yeah. I know, Stephanie, you've had some hair-raising or some difficult clients and all that you've worked with.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, did you have questions about any or anything you want to share?
I guess I didn't have any specific questions. It's always great to hear others, you know, experiences, and just to get some validation of
yeah.
how you're setting boundaries and everything, you know, is reasonable and consistent with what others, you know, are doing. Since I do work a lot with children and adolescents, you know, that does add definitely another dimension of how to balance, you know, having the parents involved, but also balance that rapport with the child. And, you know, it can be tricky sometimes, but it's been great.
Yeah, it's good to kind of check in with yourself and how you're feeling about it, too, and what's best to do, and what the best practices are to do, and then also what makes your life more
mm-hmm.
livable.
Yeah, and sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Definitely agree about texting. That's a slippery slope.
So,
I think it's much better to just establish the boundary of, you know, just email, or this is, you know, my office hours, so to speak, you know, when I'm able to return phone calls within, you know, a certain window and everything, so.
Yeah, that's good, because with texting people, there's this expectation, too, of immediacy, that people think,
mm-hmm.
oh, the text, I should get something back in 15 minutes.
Yes.
I think, and it makes you a slave to the phone and feeling
absolutely.
Like, you know, you have to return these things, and then you get some other blast back of another text. And
yeah, no, it does it.
And it gets, and of course, words get misinterpreted and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just really easy making. Yeah. Well, thanks, Stephanie. Yeah, it's just, that's great to set those boundaries and office hours, I think, is a really good thing to, say I only return calls or return in a certain, window of time. And that you charge for that for a session kind of thing, if it's something that needs to be, is a issue to this extended period of time. So, Daniel, are you on the call too? Or let's see, I remember who else is all on the call. Willie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, do you have questions? What are your thoughts or questions?
Well, most of the questions I had, you answered. One, just freshly going into the business, my clientele right now, I'm a football coach, and a lot of my kids are from the age ranges of 9 to 15. And I guess my thing was, a lot of times with that stigma, anytime you see a consultant or a psychologist, they start, especially with, ethnic, they tend to think, I'm not crazy type of thing. So when you went in and were talking about the performance coach, I like that a whole lot better.
Yeah, good. Yeah, the performance coach is something that works better, I think. And with football in general, it's, like you say, it's a more I think it's getting more accepted in all the fields, sports psychology. But I think football is one of the areas that probably needs more and more mental training than anything else.
definitely.
Yeah.
So I guess my question would be, could you give me an example of how you would present yourself? Trying to bring in a clientele, and you were talking to a parent, and you were looking in the field of football. How would you present yourself as to, just give me like a role play of how you would do it to a potential parent with a kid playing football?
If a parent's wanting your services or interested.
Correct.
Yeah, I just say, it's just. Well, why not? That's great. You mentioned the word role play. So let's pretend that you're the parent, and you're calling in about your child or something. Why don't you say something that you've got? Let's say you're calling in, and I'd say, So Willie, what kind of issues are you seeing, or what kind of things are coming up with your child?
Well, it just seems like my child really takes losing really, really bad. He pouts, and he's to the point that he's just hard. He gets very angry, and then also he gets upset. He still holds it after the game, and even the opponents that he go against, he may know some of them, but some of them may be his classmates. He's still angry with them in class on Monday morning, even after the game on Saturday afternoon.
That's a really good. Interesting thing that you bring up. He gets frustrated here. He's playing against these guys out in the field, and then sees them in class the next day, and that's a really uncomfortable situation. And I work with that kind of thing all the time with kids. What age is your child?
He's 10.
Yeah, he's 10. So I work with a lot of 10-year-olds, and I think it's. That age is so important to deal with these kind of issues of anger, anxiety, because if you don't, it tends to it can carry over into their schooling and into their lack of self-confidence and frustration into college and throughout life. Sports is a great venue for learning these things, learning that self-confidence and determination and learning how to get along with other teammates and how to deal with a competition. So what I do is, what I do with your child, what's your child's name? And you can just make up a name.
Will.
Oh, Will, okay. So, your child Will, I'd work with him in terms of, being able to you know, regain that confidence. And what I do in each session is, you know, get a good assessment of what's going on, what his challenges are, what the goals are, and what, where he's really specifically having trouble, and, you know, kind of get his words and really understand where he's coming from, what the what's the most important issues for him right now, and what's kind of what like the mental stumbling blocks, and also tell him that it's every kid, everybody has those things, and that it's I'm like a performance coach. I would not you know, it's best maybe not to use the word sports psychologist or sports psychology expert, but for Will, you know, tell him I'm a performance coach and just helping him to perform better mentally, physically, you know, in every way. And one of the things I do is it make for Will a custom, you know, audio and MP3 a visualization that he can use on his iPod or iPhone or any device that he can play over and over again. And it's not just a general one. It's very specific to his needs. So customized. So I'd ask Will, you know, tell me a time. I bet there's one time, at least, you know, many times when he's felt really good, and ask Will, tell me a time when you felt really successful or felt really confident. And say, give me the specifics. You know, what did you feel? What were you feeling right at the beginning of the game? What was your mindset? What was your what was going through your thoughts, your emotions? What was the highlights of the game? And so I get his words, how he understands it, how he experiences it, how he understands it, and then I'd take him through a visualization using his words, you know, what he's given.
Right.
Yeah, and record it, and so I recreate those feelings of confidence and power and inner strength. Yeah, and then I'd like use an anchor. I'd say, okay, Will, at that moment when you felt confident or you felt good or you did really well, what did you, you know, maybe what did you do with your hands? Did you pump your fist or put your hands in the air or do a little dance or whatever you did then, that's what you do now. Create this, like a physical gesture, and then you anchor that gesture to the feeling of success or associate it. And so we create an anchor for Will, or maybe it could be a color or something, the color red, if that's the color of their team uniforms or something. Yeah, and so that he could associate when he's feeling pressure or anger, he could associate that anchor with you know, it bring in that feeling, that anchor, and that'll bring in the feeling of confidence and success. So that's kind of something I would, a little bit of a role play, I guess.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, what I'd do with it, and I'd say, you know, and we'd, you what you want to do when you're talking with the parents is get them really, you know, be specific to what they're saying. So saying, you know, like, you know, if you say he pouts, I'd say, well, what does he do when he pouts, or ask about that, and getting angry, you know, we'd work with that. So how, you know, I would work with the anger aspect and how does he express his anger. And, of course, in football, you know, it's an angry, violent kind of sport, and everybody,
right.
And you can use anger, you know, yeah, it can get in your way, mess you up, or make you feel pressure, or you can use anger as a ally. And
right.
Yeah, let's say a play. So, like with Will, I'd say, you know, if let's say a play isn't going well or something, you messed up. You know, you need to have a way to get that anger out. You know, maybe something simple. Take your hand and brush it past your thigh, like just saying that's behind me now. Or darn, you know, or use the whatever four-letter words you need to get out that anger real quickly, you know, just almost like have a little ritual, something they need to do, yeah, and then be able to say, you know, kind of, it's like a two-step process, saying, yeah, here, I'm getting, this is behind me, okay, I'll deal with that later, that's over, next play, or, you know,
that's right,
yeah, focus on the next thing, so, you know, kind of get, so that's like, William, kind of give an example to the parents of how you would work with a situation. You know, you're almost like coaching them right there. Instead of just saying, here's, you know, instead of just doing marketing with a parent or something, you're telling them what you do in general. You know, you kind of, it's almost like you're getting into the session right there for just a few moments and just telling them, giving them tips on how I would work with that specific situation. Yeah. So, and the more you can ask the parents about the better. It sounds like there's a little bit of background noise. Is that on your phone? If you could press.
No, I don't mind.
Oh, it's not yours? Okay, somebody's. You press star six. That'll make a clearer recording for us if you can. So, yeah, you're good. Yeah, so is that helpful?
Very much so. Thank you.
Yeah,